Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're delighted you're tuning in here.
Yes, aren't we, Scott?
Yeah, sorry, I'm pantomiming with my daughter. Your essay.
Yeah, mine works really well.
Do your essay
on the radio.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Matter of fact, I'd like all of you to Facebook in right now and tell intern Peyton to finish her essay.
Do your homework, Peyton.
Log on to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. Chat alongside with us.
That's right. You can also go to Twitter, at The Music Row Show. And of course, after the show, you can see some great pictures on Instagram, at The Music Row Show as well.
Well, and Diana has this cool selfie stick, so she's taking pictures.
Oh, I know.
Nonstop.
We're gonna have to get some copies of those. There we go. Look at that thing.
That's
my
crazy.
So Scott, I don't know if you've heard this or not.
I'm sure I haven't.
Dish subscribers can now watch us on TV because Blue Highways TV is now on Dish.
Oh my gosh, that's right. You can get the song behind the song four times a week.
You can
watch our show four times a week here on Channel 73 all over the country, and for the first time ever, right here in Nashville.
Yay. All right, Scott, why don't you tell us who this lovely lady is sitting with us right now?
You know, she is known by music fans all around the world
for her
multi-award-winning CDs with number one hits like Wrong Girl, albums like Keep Breathing. She is a two-time Golden Guitar winner, which is the Australian CMA Awards, including Female Artist of the Year. She has been here in America, see what I did there, writing for a few years now, writing with some of Nashville's biggest hit makers, recording for a while now, and her new single, God Did Good, which is a very, very cool tune.
Thank you.
Very cool. It was just released to radio a couple of weeks ago. Her upcoming full-length CD is available for pre-sale right now on iTunes. So she has all this going on, and yet with all of that, Hino and I just know her as Corky, this funny singer-songwriter that competes with us at the Off the Hook shows.
That's right.
Here in Nashville. Do we have to charge them for saying Off the Hook?
Yeah, I think we do now.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, right. Excellent. Sorry, Jim
off
and
hook,
Cynthia.
Off the hook, off the hook, off the hook.
Yep, that's $5 each time we say it. We have very, very much to discuss here. We're proud and happy to say, Diana Corcoran, we're glad you're here.
Oh,
welcome to the Music
yes.
Row Show.
So happy to be here.
Yay, you.
All right, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I think you're awesome. And language barrier aside, I'm usually thrilled when they pair us up on Off the Hook. There's another $5. And, you know, you're a funny lady. You've got a great sense of humor, but I don't hear a whole lot of that funny side on your music. Are you ashamed of being funny? Is that what's going on here?
Maybe I don't actually think I'm funny, but you know what? I think I've met in the middle because there is quirky.
Quirky is
all the way through my record. So I think I've tried to sort of dial it down and just meet in the middle a little bit. Otherwise, it would be a comedy album, and then
right,
you know,
nobody
likes that. Would be a disaster.
So then looking back, then what event can you think of? An event that kind of gave you the push and gave you the music bug?
You mean right from the start?
Yeah. What was it?
I know this is cliche, but it's true. Music found me. Mum said that I was singing before I was talking.
Mm.
She said I was singing songs before I actually said my first word. So I was musical from the get-go. I never learnt music theory or anything because to me it was just, you know, it was just in my blood. So I don't know. I just was always gravitated towards music, all genres, but country was always my favourite. So
Accident.
Okay, well, let's talk a little more about your youth. What is the secret to true, bona fide, authentic yodeling?
Oh, crikey. You're going to go down the yodeling track.
Oh, I'm going down the yodeling track. Yeah, let me tell you.
You know what? Lots of people sort of are going through talent quests. In Australia, the country music scene had a lot of little talent quests around the countryside. And that's what my mum and dad drove me to. And, you know, that was small and, you know, not always the best singer would win or anything. But no one cared. My mum and dad were just taking me there so I'd have a chance to get up and sing. Every one of those talent quests had a yodeling section. And so that's why I actually pushed myself to learn to yodel. And I just loved it. I heard someone yodeling and thought, well, that's not cool, but it is cool. To yeah. me, it's cool. So I'm going to go and do it. So, but there was always a very unique difference to someone who could yodel properly. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, there's all different styles of yodeling, but the actual technique is going from your chest voice to your head voice, usually pretty fast, and then in control. So depending mm-hmm. on whether it is a fast yodel or a slow yodel, but lots of people sort of sing yodels, but a true yodeler is breaking from that chest to the head voice very fast.
So can you give us an example of a not authentic yodel and an authentic yodel?
Sure. Okay. So it would be, let's see if I can do this. A non-authentic yodel would be Ole Hitty. Where you real yodel would be Ole Hitty, Ole Hitty. You hear that break in the middle of it. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you were kind of in your head voice for the whole time of the
first one.
That's
Yeah.
That's a fake
that's
right
a
there.
That's a fakie. And we had lots of fakies in talent quests.
Aha! So I'm guessing you won that a lot.
No, sometimes the fakies would win.
That's
the world that we live in.
That
fake
is
yodeling.
Just wrong.
I don't know.
It's, you know, you don't even know what's real anymore in this world.
They could probably just sing better than me, so what are you going to do?
No, go on.
Well, you know, you being in Nashville now for a little while, you know that there's kind of a rivalry between the Texas music scene and the Nashville music scene. You know, there's, you know, each one thinks it's better. How is that between Aussie music or that scene in Nashville? I mean, is there a similar kind of rivalry?
I don't think there is a rivalry at all. There's definitely some people in Australian country music that don't understand why some of us come to Nashville. So they're like, yes, but we've got all of that down here. Why do you have to go to another country? Not many, by the way, but there are, you know, there is a niche group of people that are like that. And I guess they just don't see it on a global scale because country music is biggest in America. So with me, there was not much else that I could do in Australia to further my career. So the logical thing was to come to the States, and I always wanted to. So that was my goal. It's not everybody's goal, but it was definitely mine. And yeah.
Now, why do you say that there was not much more you could do to further your career there?
I guess because we are a small country. We've got 20 million people, which mm-hmm. is the size of LA.
Okay.
And in a country that is geographically the size of the United States. So we're tiny, and that's a reason why it's awesome. And I do love it, and I love home, and I miss it. But I won Female Artist of the Year over there, and I kind of sat down the very next day and went into this mode of depression. Which is just the wrong thing that should be happening if you win Female Artist of the Year. Don't get me wrong. I spent that entire year very happy. But there was that moment of, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And then I looked back in when I was a tiny little kid listening to records that came from Nashville, and that's all I ever wanted to do. And I said to myself, okay, it is time for Nashville. It is just time. So, I mean, it's a lot of hard work to move here from another country because of immigration and all of that. But I went and got myself a second job. I was doing music, and then I was working through the night in just practically doing anything, saving up just to get myself here. And then I sold everything I owned and shipped on over. There's no return because I don't own anything in Australia anymore. I'm buggered.
There's nothing to do.
Well, but you did come back here before you moved here. You came back and you recorded your Keep Breathing CD.
I did.
What were your impressions of Nashville prior to coming here, and what surprised you about the realities of the music community?
You know what? It was always really inspiring for me to come here because the talent here is so extraordinary, and just the masses of talent as well. Some people find that daunting and go, oh, I'll just go on home and pretend I don't know anything about that, because it is daunting. I found it inspiring. So it was like, oh my gosh, that person is so much better than I could ever be. How do I get there? So it depends which way you take it. So it was
both daunting
and inspiring. I love being around people that are far better than me. I think that it's really super cool and humbling, and just makes you want to be better.
Well, then you've come to the wrong show. I'm just saying.
I 100% disagree. I love you guys.
No.
I'm not just blowing smoke up your butt. It's just good to be around people like
you.
I thought I felt something there.
Intern Peyton, do your homework. Stop looking at us.
My goodness.
So
Oh, yeah, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, people, I wonder if you get this question a lot. You know, they find out you're Australian, and you know, the first question is, "Oh, do you know Keith Urban, or do you know, you know, pick your famous Australian?" Is there any?
There's
sort of,
two.
There's two. Two famous Australians.
Keith and Nicole. Oh,
right, yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's right. There's only two.
Well, in country.
Oh, I know,
but
I know. There's more.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. Hollywood is overrun by Australians, yeah, too. So Hollywood and Nashville. So you can barely go down the street in Nashville and not run into an Aussie. Because there is so much talent in Australia, and the logical place, especially in country, is to come to Nashville.
Well, is there any sort of like a support group or, you know, you guys?
Not officially, but you know? Yes. Yeah, there is. We do tend to gravitate towards each other, especially if we're going through immigration hassles.
Yeah.
It's like, we ring up and we go, did your green card get declined? Yeah, mine did too. What do we do? You know, so there is that camaraderie, I guess, that you just naturally have.
Sure.
But no, it's good to have Aussies in town, I think, especially if you get homesick. So
there you go.
And we blend in very well. You know, America and Australia are, you know, we're allies, we're friends. So we blend in very well with the culture, I guess you could
say. It's a good fit.
It's a very good fit. Yeah.
It's a good fit. So, again, getting back to, so you're back home, Female Artist of the Year. Your family is very supportive of you.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, I'm leaving, and you know, coming here and recording the album, that's one thing, but to say, I'm moving there, what was the, how did they take that?
You know what? I don't know how they took it. They're kind of, they internalized those things, to be completely honest, but it was no shock. They were waiting for it from the moment that I was listening to Tim McGraw CDs when I was a little kid, and I was picking apart not just Tim McGraw as a fan, I was picking apart the productions. That was my big thing about Nashville. I was like pulling the liner notes out going, who is playing that? Who is engineering this? You know, I was obsessed with the productions that were coming out of Nashville.
Really?
My mum and dad saw it happening then. That was when I was a kid. So it was like Nashville. I'm going to go to Nashville. I'm going to produce. I'm going to work with these musicians. And it was no surprise. I think it was just they were kind of gritting their teeth going, okay, here we are. And that's still the case. It's very hard. I lost my dad, unfortunately, a couple of years ago. I managed to get home and be with him before he passed away. But I think it took me a little bit longer to get to Nashville than I thought it did. And when I look at, you know, when I lost him, I think that's why. You know, I was meant to have those extra years with him.
Right.
And he was also meant to see me come here. So that worked out. But, that's the toughest bit, being away from family. So I think my brothers forget I exist a couple, you know.
That's funny. So then you picking apart all the liner notes and reading all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing then you were aware then of songwriting and songwriters and
absolutely,
the fact that the artists don't necessarily
absolutely
write their own material a lot of times.
Yeah, which shocks Australians, because in Australia, we don't have the songwriting community and the artist community that is so separate like you do in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So in Australia, it's pretty much you just have to do everything yourself because there's not enough of us.
Right.
So nearly every artist, or all artists that I know, will write their own songs in Australia and always have done.
Mm-hmm.
So if you write with an Australian artist, they will very much be a songwriter. Whereas I did notice that difference, which has changed in recent years. Most of the artists here in America are writing their own songs now. But that was definitely something that I faced when I first went into a writing room. It was obvious that they were used to, well, back then, not so much now, but back then they were used to the artists just sort of coming in and saying, this is what I'm looking for, and you can write the song.
Impress me.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, I was just like, but it was the opposite. It was like, no, I'm getting my hands dirty. I'm a writer. So I was excited about that. Songwriting is just as much of a career and passion for me as being an artist.
That's wonderful.
Great.
Hey, we'd like to remind all of our listeners that this segment is brought to you by our good friends at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That is true. This dealership is so great. They really go out of their way to make sure that everybody has an excellent experience when they go there, whether it's for service or whether you're there to buy a car. It's a nice, comfortable experience, unlike the experience that most people imagine what going to a car dealership is like.
Well, yeah, they don't jump on you. They have a lifetime warranty with unlimited time and miles on every new car, a 3-day exchange policy, and they're just low key. They're friendly. ToyotaOfCoolSprings.com.
That's right. Go talk to George. He is the owner, and he'll take great care of you. ToyotaOfCoolSprings.com. We're going to come back in just a few minutes with Corky here. I'm sorry, Diana Corcoran.
Either
Excuse
way.
Me.
Either way.
Here on the Music Row Show. Come on back.
me on. When you shake your hips, you rattle my bones. Said a little prayer, knocked on wood. When God made you, God did good.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
This is her single.
This is her single, God Did Good. We're here with Diana Corcoran. And that's a tune. You wrote that, I think it was Jeff Cohen, right?
Jeff Cohen and Christian Bush.
And Christian Bush, yep. All right.
From Sue Garland.
From Sue Garland, yes. Love those guys.
Well, let's talk about that, because you have had some amazing co-writers.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you've learned craft-wise from spending time with Rebecca Lynn Howard, Jeff mm-hmm. Cohen, Gary Burr, and Christian Bush, to name a few, name drop a few?
You know what? Everybody's just so different. Like, it's amazing. And once again, I think none of them expected me to be able to write. So, mm-hmm. and the majority of the time I would take the idea in because I had, you know, it was my record and we were sure. writing for my record. And I just don't think, I ended up building a relationship with these people where I kept going back and we were writing songs for everything, not just my album. And I constantly learn from these guys. Like, I learn from every co-writer, I think, but these great writers, I'm constantly learning something. And Gary Burr is one that he is an amazing writer.
Right.
Like, he will take something that I have done and just make it a billion times better. I will say a line that I think is genius, and then he will turn it into true genius, and I'll go, oh, okay, let me just step back down here again. But, you know, so there are those writers, you know, obviously that you keep your great ideas for, and I'm just very, very lucky to have written with these folks, and I hope they'll write with me again for the next one.
I'm sure they will.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, did I read this right? You actually have a 7-octave range?
It hasn't been tested. People keep writing that down. People keep writing that down.
It's on your website.
Is it really?
Yes! Sorry, that was a little high-pitched. I have a 7-octave.
You have a 7-octave range here, I know.
I know, yes! I need to, go and check that. Because
it's actually 8, darn it.
You know what? They believe that it is, but unless you've been technically tested with that sort of thing, you shouldn't be saying it. So I better go and take that down.
That, yeah.
I have pretty extreme range. I've always been able to hit really, really high notes naturally. So
right.
even if I have a cold, most people's high notes go. Mine don't. It's my low notes that'll go, and I can always hit like a top F sharp, even if I have a cold. So
wow,
yeah.
we have a caller. Mariah Carey's on the phone, and she wants. She wants to have a sing-off
yeah,
right
I know.
Now.
No, she'd beat me. She'd beat me for sure. Yeah. Huge fan.
Well, do you feel like playing something for us?
Sure.
Oh, listen to that. There we go.
This is lovely. This is, here's a quirky song for you, High Note.
Wonderful.
It's a true story, and this is on the brand new album that's coming out in January, but already on pre-order on iTunes, if I just put that in there. This is true story, and it's called Thank You for Cheating on Me, so I'll let you work that one out. Oh, you hurt me and you burned me and you took me and turned me into a broken down wild stallion. I'm crying and you're lying and you're constant denying. Yeah, I lived it till the moment you were bailing. Sun don't shine and I'll be laughing at you the whole time.
Wow.
You're welcome.
I got my money's worth out of that.
Now, you wrote that one with Rebecca Lynn Howard, is that
I
true?
I did, and Rachel Thibodeau.
Okay.
So wow. I'd just been cheated on by the boyfriend.
Right.
And I went, well, bugger you, I'm going to go and make some money out of you. So I went in and sat with the girls, who are two of my best friends, and I just sat down and I said, okay, I got this idea, and I you know, sang out that chorus bit in the tag, and they're like, we're in. You know, they did that. We've been through this. We can write this. So, it came out great. And that's one of the songs I've recycled from Australia. So we've put that one on the album. I had actually released that previously in Australia, and it was a number one hit over there. So that's why I always like to say I got my money's worth out of that, dude.
Now, did you re-record it? Or
I did.
Okay.
It's a re-record. It's an American recording now. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Wow.
Very cool. So let's talk about, we were just talking with Dobe and those guys also during the breaks about Tamworth. Talk about the festival for us Americans, who've never been and who've never had a chance to attend.
You know what? There's no other way to describe it except a mini CMA Fest. You know, it looks very similar. Obviously, the amount of people in Nashville during CMA Fest are more, but to be honest, when you're walking down the street, they look pretty much the same. I think, and for a small country like Australia, that's pretty impressive. So you will walk down the main street of Tamworth and you'll feel like you're on Broadway.
So there'll be the girls with the Daisy Dukes and the cowboy boots and the...
Absolutely.
Oh,
and
okay.
Some great buskers and some pretty terrible buskers as well. So, it's fantastic and nobody really cares. It's just about having fun. I recommend everyone go to Tamworth even if they don't like country music. You know, I mean, who are they? But
yeah, who are they? Well, the other nice thing is it's in January and
it is
in the southern part of Australia. Is that?
It's kind of in the middle. It's more south. But,
so, I mean, is it nice weather there then?
It's actually hot, just like CMA, because that's
perfect.
Our summer.
Okay, yeah.
So it's boiling hot, yeah. Your undie ducks will be stuck to your butt, that's for sure.
My undie ducks?
What? There's that language barrier
again. I just
again.
Learned something. Undie ducks.
Your undie ducks.
Your undie dacks.
Like your pants are your dacks.
Okay, my undie dacks. Huh.
Okay.
This is brought to you by Fruit of the Loom, undie dacks.
Really? So when you were trying to establish yourself as an artist, mm-hmm. what kinds of things were you doing to do that and to differentiate yourself from other artists around?
You know what? There was never a specific kind of road or path that I took. It was just very natural. My thing was always to be authentic, so I will not sing or write songs that I don't relate to in any way. You know, there has to be something that I can relate to, or I just don't record it or write it. So my biggest thing was being authentic. I am from the country. I'm from a small country town in Australia that is only on some maps. And
really? Only on some?
It's actually not that small now, but for some reason they still don't see it. It's worthy of being put on every map, but
does it have a sign at the outset saying "Home of Diana Corcoran"?
You know what? Somebody did mention that the council did mention putting one up, and I went, "Oh, please don't! That is just so that's wrong." But you know, it's but they are incredibly supportive. The town are super supportive, and but I think just me just being country, I was real country and still am. You know, I love my dirt bikes and I'm not afraid to get out there and get dirty.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I used to race dirt bikes. That's my
wow.
thing. That's my thing.
And you can actually like rebuild an engine. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Apparently.
Look
See,
at
they,
you.
They exaggerate that stuff, too.
Oh, come on. I bet
yeah.
you can. While
she can
while
do
you're
that
singing
seven octaves.
In 7 octaves,
yeah.
I'm rebuilding an engine yeah. in my undie Dax.
I know, right. Look, I do. My dad was a mechanic, so I can fix my own car to a certain extent, but I'm limited, of course. But
that's impressive.
But I do most of my own maintenance on my vehicles, yeah.
So I get the feeling, and I don't know this for sure, but I get this feeling that you're kind of a workaholic. Mm. If I read this correctly, you worked three jobs to pay for your first album.
I did.
Give those listeners who would love to run their own music career and would love to have this career that you have. What does a day for Diana look like? Because I don't think people realize all the work that goes into it And no, I have a feeling that you like to be on top of everything going on.
Yeah. Like, to be honest, in Australia, if you don't do things for yourself, you're not going to go anywhere. Okay. Because it's just, it is a real, it's the country mentality in Australia that you don't really get a lot of respect unless you get your hands dirty.
Okay.
So I guess that is a benefit of coming from that kind of culture and coming over here and having to get my hands dirty was really good for me. But I think sitting on the computer a lot and doing all your own admin and emails and all of that sort of stuff, my mum will still look at me on the computer and go, but I don't understand what you're doing on there. Nah. You know, because she doesn't realize that probably 90% of my job is on the computer. Yeah.
So, as an artist, absolutely. Okay, talk about that. Yeah. When you say doing admin and everything, what are you talking about?
Well, you know, I do all my own graphic design. Mm-hmm. I produce, I engineer. So I sit on music production things like, you know, software like Pro Tools and Logic, and I do a lot of that sort of stuff. I send emails out. Once I get my gigs and everything, I'm doing all the organizing of that. And I do have a team here in America, which mm-hmm. has been amazing. Like I've signed to a deal in New York, a record deal in New York, and they're helping me a lot, but it doesn't stop me from getting in there and, you know, getting on top of everything myself. And so I will literally probably send, you know, maybe 500 emails a day. It's that extreme.
Really?
Yeah. And just to make sure everything's running smoothly. Social media is such a huge part of what we do, just to stay in touch with fans. And that's important to me that I mean, my label have offered for somebody to take that over for me, but I find that really non-authentic. Like, yeah, you know, I just want to be on there myself, and I try to respond to people as much as I can as well. So mm-hmm. I read everything. I'm not Taylor Swift, so I have the ability to go through all of my responses and read everybody's at the moment. And until that is out of hand, which I hope it is out of hand one day, but while it is in hand, I like to be able to do that. So it's a big job keeping up with everybody. And then 10% of the day, sadly, is picking up the guitar and singing. It should be more, but that's just how it goes. So
wow,
man.
Yeah,
I'm actually just kind of worn out hearing about it.
I know. Sorry about that. It's also because I talk fast in a funny language.
Yeah. What did she say? What? No, actually, that actually makes you appreciate, I think, more now that you do have some help.
Mm-hmm.
You have done it yourself all that time.
Or was it hard to let go of some of that?
It was, but once I got told off a couple of times, it was
really
it was good. Yeah. My husband told me off a couple of times. I think it was last year when he started to help me with a few things. Uh-huh. And he's great because he's in the music business.
Sure.
And he owns a publishing company. And so he's great and he knows what he's doing. And there were a couple of times where I would hand him something to do because he'd say, I want to do that. And then I would come over his shoulder and he had to tell me to back off. He said, you need to let this go. And I'm like, okay. And I did very well at going, he's absolutely right. I do need to let it go.
Husbands love to hear that.
Yeah, I know.
They rarely hear that.
They rarely hear it, but when they do.
I feel like things are backwards in my relationship. I'm the one who fixes the cars. He's the one who's always right. Because I'm this erratic, crazy, you know, artistic person that just, I'll say something ridiculous and then realize that he is right at the end of the day. So things are a bit backwards. Wow. At my house.
We're gonna get a little recording of this and send it to him.
You know, he's already been told. He's happy with it.
All right. Cool. All right. Listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Diana Corcoran here on The Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with Diana Corcoran, international recording star. And that's a tune of hers called Feels Like Hollywood.
No, that one's actually...
No, that was Carolina, right?
Oh, that's Carolina.
Blame Carolina. Sorry, we changed it up on you.
Thanks a lot.
Sorry, I know.
Yeah. Everybody's out to get me.
I know, right? We're all in on it.
That's right.
Blame Carolina. I blame Scott.
Yeah.
So there. So from a business standpoint, what adjustments did you have to make in how you approach your career in general, you know, once you came here?
It's amazingly different here. Yeah. So I think that...
How?
It's just, I think just because it's bigger and it's very much here, it is very, very tough to break through without a major label. In Australia, it's harder to break through without a major label, but it's not impossible. So you've, you know, whereas here I kind of feel like it's closer to the impossible side, which is fine, but, you know, it just makes that track a whole lot harder. The other thing is that I'm back to ground zero. So,
Okay.
Which is fine. There are other, I know that a lot of people have come in from overseas who have had a lot of success in Australia and gone, holy cow, I can't do this all over again.
Right.
And gone back home. That to me is, that's not even a state of mind for me. If I ever was to go back home, it wouldn't be for that reason. It's, I actually find it refreshing to be at ground zero. Nobody expects anything of me. I love being brand new. I like being a new artist. So it's, that to me is kind of the fun of it. I have to work hard, but that's okay.
Well, you, one of the things that I thought was so interesting is you have, so you have a record label you're working with here in the States.
Yep.
But you also have a record deal in Germany.
I do.
So, you know, V. Gates.
Sehr gut.
So it never dawned on me that one might have multiple labels to market to different countries. I mean, what goes into keeping them all focused in the right direction, and does there need to be coordination between them? Are you trying to make sure that the same stories getting out in the same areas, or is it two totally different organizations?
Yes and no. Some of it is cross-collaborative, and some of it is, and I'm kind of responsible for that because I'm the one who signed to the different labels. My label in New York, it's not their responsibility to keep an eye on the label in Germany, so it, that's all on me. So I definitely have to keep an eye on, so for example, the label in Germany, they're actually covering the world at the moment outside of North America. So okay. Mexico, Canada, and USA are covered by New York, and then Germany covers the rest of the world.
Okay.
And so I have to sort of log out of American iTunes and then log into Australian and German and all of those iTunes to make sure that the album is listed properly and that it's under the correct label.
That's a separate login for each one?
Yeah, it is. Wow. So that's kind of my responsibility, but it is a little bit of extra work. But hopefully if they're all doing their jobs, they'll get it in the right spot. And this time we're releasing all in one go. So this album that's coming out in January, it's all being released at the same time. So that's a little bit less work on me because once an album goes up online, I can just send it to the world and not worry about which territories are seeing it. And, oh, we can't let the Australians see that yet or any of that. So that's much easier.
Do you release the same songs as singles all over, or are there some areas where it's like they really are going to go for Blame It on Carolina more than they're going to go God is
God Did Good?
God Did Good.
I think with God Did Good being the single, we found that that was the one that was going to be fine globally. Okay. I think as we sort of go down, if we keep releasing singles off the record, that may need to change because some things, America is a different market. So, for example, if we were to release this, we released Therapy, which is on the record. We released that as a single already in Australia.
All right.
We would never have released that as a first single in America.
Why?
So, because it's a little bit more poppy, a little bit edgier. And in America, we wanted to make sure that people did know that I was country, especially as a first single. And I am. I'm very country. So it's, but
plus
we wanted
everybody's
to make
so
sure.
Sensitive here. You know?
Well, I'm also new. I think Therapy is great as a single for America as well, but probably not for a first single. We just wanted them to know that I knew I was country. So,
gotcha.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with more of Diana Corcoran, and we're going to hopefully twist her arm and get her to do another song for us. So come on back to the Music Row Show in just a couple minutes.
From what I've seen, I can tell you one thing. Everyone in this town is on something. One man's whiskey's another man's smoke.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Diana Corcoran doing a great song called Therapy, which she co-wrote with one of my favorite guys in town, Trey Bruce.
Trey.
He's great.
Great writer.
You know what I loved about that song is all the internal rhymes in it.
Yes.
I'm an internal rhyme freak.
Oh, me too. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And can I just tell you, Trey Bruce was the perfect person to take that song to, because I had it in my head that I started writing it in the shower before I went to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had terrible anxiety, which apparently is a Nashville thing. Yeah. Artists who get anxiety. So I had anxiety. I was living with a friend at the time and she said, "What's wrong with you?" Like, so I was just getting around not being able to breathe. And I said, "I've just got the worst anxiety." And she said, "Well, just take a Xanax like everybody else in this town does."
Nah.
That's how it started. So I started singing that in the shower. "Everybody in this town is in therapy. And if they're not, well, they probably should be." So I took it to Trey Bruce going, "Oh, I don't know. You know, it's a bit quirky. I don't, you know, I just never know where people are going to go with it." He loved it and had so much input of, you know, all that good furniture lyric to sort of throw in there and just make it what it was. So it was pretty cool.
It's the right guy. It's a great song. We'd love to hear another live one from you.
Sure. This is the one that I wrote with Gary Burr.
Okay.
And Gary Burr is actually singing this with me on the album. And this is actually the work tape that we recorded a quick guitar vocal of this after we wrote it.
Right.
And I went to produce it and thought to myself, I don't want to get rid of his voice. I love it. I don't want to be the only person singing this. I just love this recording. So I called him and said, "Hey, can I throw this on the album? Because it's, you know, it sounds great."
Did you have to redo anything or?
Nothing.
Great.
Wow. I went through and did a third harmony, but that's it. It's him playing guitar and us singing together. So we just left it as it is.
Sweet.
So this is called Not Ready to Lose. "Best days are the hardest days. The strongest people fight their way to the finish line. Pressure has a funny way of leaning on a stone until a diamond shines. Oh, I'm gonna shine. I could wave a white flag. Something I've been tempted to do. Might be ready to bend a little. Might be ready to break just a little. But I'm not ready to lose. When heartache's knocking at your door, wonder what a prayer is for in the dead of night. The times that toughen up your skin can teach a heart that it can win the toughest fight. Oh, I'm gonna fight. I could wave a white flag and surrender. I could give up and say that I'm that's something I've been tempted to do. Might be ready to bend a little. Might be ready to break just a little. But I'm not ready to lose. Oh, the phone could ring and bring you news that'll change your life. Maybe someone that you love is gone in the blink of an eye. That's when you realize you could wave a white flag and surrender. You could give up and say that you're through. And in my moments of weakness, that's something I've been tempted. Might be ready to bend a little. Might be ready to break just a little. But I'm not ready to lose.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what we have not said enough in this hour?
What?
Is her CD that is coming out in January is called In America.
In America.
It is available for pre-order right now mm-hmm. by going to iTunes.
Yep, iTunes. Just search Diana Corcoran.
Corcoran.
And mm-hmm. Diana with two N's. Yeah, and the album's called In America.
And your web address, of course, is DianaCorcoran.com.
That's it.
Very simple. Beautiful.
And go to my Facebook. Join me on Facebook because I'm always on there and I talk to people. So so it's Diana Corcoran Official on Facebook.
Perfect.
Official.
I am official.
Well, then, you know, for any other young ladies who might be listening and might be wanting to pursue this kind of thing, any advice for them?
Be prepared to work your butt off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some people go in and think it's glamorous, and there is lots of glamorous stuff, but, you know, for each of those 5 minutes of glamour, there's about 12 months worth of hard work. So, you know, but it's good. But if you're built for it, you'll love it. And there are a lot of tough moments, but, you know, it is almost like a disease. It's an addiction. And it doesn't matter how many times someone sort of beats you down. If you're strong enough, you will get back up and start singing again. So just be prepared to work hard and be real, you know.
All right.
You signed your first record deal when you were very young.
Yeah.
How scary was that, and how have you, this new deal, was it as scary for you?
No, this one wasn't scary at all. I think my big deal in Australia was, they were amazing, and they were, I'm not going to dismiss anything that they did for me. My success was, definitely because they were so on my side, and they just went out there and pumped my music. But it was, I also lost a lot of my control during that time as well.
Okay.
So that I wasn't really allowed to have control of anything, so to speak. So I did feel like I started to lose my sound a little bit. So with this deal, these guys have been so respectful of my creativity. And that's the one thing that they've been saying the whole time. You're the creative. So, you know, we'll tell you whether we like it or not, but go and be creative and then bring it back to us. We'll say yes or no, but go and be creative. Whereas I found I was a bit more restricted to with that, with my first deal.
Do you mean restrictive during the actual creative process? Were they trying to direct while songs were being written and produced?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that it was more, you know, they had a specific sound in mind.
They were looking for something.
Absolutely. Rather than these guys actually heard this music and this particular record, which had already, we'd recorded this album, they mm-hmm. heard it, loved it, and said, let's release it.
Right.
So sort of the other way around. Yeah.
Cool.
I can't even imagine how tough that would be to have somebody looking over your shoulder while trying to be creative.
Yeah. I think that it was more just, you know, they had a plan. They had a plan for me, and most of it was great. But at the end of the day, whether it was going to work or not, I just needed to be creative. And that's how it was.
Well,
I think we have time for one last
question. This is actually probably the most important question of the entire night.
Yeah, here we go.
Do you still have a strange affection for squirrels?
Oh, my gosh. You guys have really been reading up. I love squirrels.
Uh-huh.
Are there no squirrels in Australia?
No, we don't have squirrels.
Okay.
No.
So you came here and you saw your first squirrel.
I was obsessed with them. I'm obsessed with houses, southern homes.
Uh-huh.
So I bought a house. We bought a house here with southern and had to have southern columns, like the pillars.
Okay.
Sure.
Had to have that. So we've got that. And I always wanted to move to Nashville, have a yard with squirrels in it, and a house with a red door. So just yesterday, I painted my front door red.
And the squirrels approved?
And the squirrels totally approved.
Nice.
Very nice.
All right.
I love them. They're cute.
Okay. they're rats with cuter clothing, but you know.
You guys keep saying that. Yeah, but I love rats. Yeah, I adore rats.
All right. Well, now that's just weird.
Just pushing it over the edge.
I have pet rats. I love them.
All right. Go check her out at DianaCorcoran.com. When you're done with that, go to themusicrowshow.com. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next week with a lot more amazing stuff here
Thanks
on the Music
so
Row
much,
Show.
Guys.
Yeah, you